breaking records in the city where I live. Everybody, welcome to the Breaking Records Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly K. Fresh Frazier, a.k.a. K. Freezy, a.k.a. Kelly Kell, a.k.a. the Dilla Disciple, a.k.a. the Slum Village Villain, a.k.a. the 8 Mile Mandalorian, a.k.a. I'm just fooling. All right, I've been on a little bit of a break with the Breaking Records Podcast. Sorry about that, but I just needed some alone time. I needed some do some self-care, and like always, we have the freshest of guests on all my podcasts. And for this podcast, this was an interview that I actually did way back in last fall. It's with Larissa Stupar, the vocalist for the Welsh death metal band Venom Prison. We recorded this outside of the Sanctuary in Hamtramck, Michigan on their headlining tour. They kicked ass. I love Venom Prison. And so it was awesome to be able to talk to Larissa. And during our interview, we talked about, you know, the writing and recording of their latest album, Samsara. She shared with us the progression of the band, touring in the States, and her own upbringing. A lot of cool stories in this interview. So after a small break to hear from our sponsor, we'll get into this interview with Larissa Stupar, lead vocalist of the Welsh death metal band Venom Prison. But, okay, so Venom Prison's been around since 2015.
Yeah.
4 years in. Have a few, you know, just exceptional records, you know. How do you feel about the band now? You know, you're a few years in, and like, to me, this is like one of the most impressive bands, I think, newer bands that come out.
Well, thank you. Well, when we started off, it was just Ash and myself, and we had just left our old bands. We were both in hardcore bands before. And we kind of just miss playing shows again. So we wanted to casually start another band, which was less hardcore, more metallic. So the demo we released was still a lot more hardcore than what Venom Prison is now.
Yeah.
Because we just wanted to try new things. And then we started playing shows, put the band together with everyone else. And yeah, it kind of got busier over the next 4 years, and now we released our second album, which we never thought was going to happen, and touring America for the second time. We went out on tour with Trivium last year in Europe for 7 weeks, which was amazing. And like, all of these things are just things that we never thought were going to happen, because it was just a band to play shows.
I guess, like, just the cream rises to the top, you know.
And, yeah.
And I had heard about the band here and there, but it was a suggestion of Justine from Employed to Serve. When I had her on the podcast,
yeah.
I always end my interviews by asking for a suggestion, and she suggested you.
Yeah.
And said you were a very interesting person, and you had a very interesting story, you know, about growing up and whatnot, that she's read in magazines, plus she's friends with you. So I was like, yeah, I've heard the band. Then I went, like, instantly and started listening to the band. I was like, oh, snap, yo, they kick ass, dude. This is a really good band, you know? Like, how easy was it to go from, like, a hardcore band, being in a hardcore band, to doing these new ideas that you wanted to do as more of a, you know, death metal band?
I gotta say, it wasn't really easy, because I didn't really think about how much harder or how different it was going to be, because I did always feel, when I was in hardcore bands, I did always feel like I could, I do have a bit more potential to do things with my voice than what I've been doing. And but I just didn't have the space to try new things, if that makes sense, because
right.
not everything works with every kind of music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we started this, the first difference that I noticed was just writing lyrics. I wanted to do it differently than how I used to do it before. I wanted to be it to be more metaphorical. I wanted I didn't want it to be
Yeah, the hardcore is a little bit more straightforward, a lot of chanting, stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted people to listen to the songs and to read the lyrics and not necessarily know straight away what the songs were about.
Right.
I like to code messages and let people explore and just find out for themselves and maybe put their own meaning into it, because I do think that we interpret things differently through however we experience things, and that's just something that I thought is probably fun for other people as well. So it was different just writing lyrics, and but now, like, since writing Animus, it's become easier for me, and I enjoy doing it. For me, it's just like being creative, thinking about who I am as a person, what I want to represent as a person,
okay.
and just exploring new things that would inspire me to write lyrics as well. So
you're in your groove now.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely in your groove.
And what's always been important for me was to develop as a vocalist from record to record.
Yeah.
And
how do you go about doing that? Like, what were some of the things that you felt like you needed to do to develop yourself?
Definitely stamina, first of all, because at the moment I sing a lot more, like, I have a lot more parts in songs than I used to have when I was back in Wolfdown or any other hardcore band before that. So for me, I do like, especially live, when they write songs and when the boys write the songs as well, we always think about how we would perform them live, because we don't write just for the record. We're a live band. We love to play the songs live that we write. And for myself, it's always trying to get into, okay, how do I make it sound interesting to be on a record, but also how do I make it possible to being able to perform it live?
Right, right.
And then what we usually do when it comes to writing, we just record demos and then we approve them. And I usually do that with Ash. And then we listen back, we think, okay, this could be different. And it's cool to have someone else's impact there as well, because they can tell you, okay, this is really cool, but can you do this differently? So, everything that we record, we want to be able to play as well. And I'm someone who likes to move a lot on stage. I don't like to just stand still. I have all of this energy that I feel when I perform, and I want to let it out. So I move a lot. And for me, I had to learn to be able to have all this depth of, like, just air inside of me, being able to sing and also move at the same time. And I think I got it figured out now.
how do you just keep your body, like, fit, you know, just to how do you stay healthy, like, you know,
honestly, I used to exercise. I don't really do it anymore. For me, it's just I walk a lot when I go to work at home and things like that. I walk quite a lot. I used to go to the gym. I don't do it anymore just because I'm too lazy at the moment, I gotta be honest. But I'm vegan. I try to eat healthy.
Okay,
I try to eat a lot of vegetables, especially on tour. When you're on the road, you get a lot of fast food.
Yeah, that can be tough, man.
Yeah, especially here in America, I gotta say. Because we get buyouts most of the time, so we gotta find something that's cheap, quick to be prepared, and that's usually fast food. So.
Yep.
Every time we get the chance to eat something healthy, we all do, because sometimes you just feel like a sack of shit when you've eaten like burgers and fries for like 2 or 3 days in a row. So yeah. So for me personally, it's trying to eat healthy, trying to stay hydrated, which I'm so bad at because I just don't drink enough water. But I try to, especially on tour.
Yeah.
If your throat is dry, then it hurts.
Yeah. So when I was talking with Justine, and when she suggested you for the podcast, she was like, yeah, she has an interesting story about growing up and something about, like, punching Nazis or something like that. So, like, what was she talking about? Like, what was your childhood like or growing up that was so interesting?
Well, I was born in Russia.
Okay.
And I lived there until I was 10. My dad's Russian, my mom's German. We moved to Germany when I was 10 with my brother and sister and my parents. And yeah, life in Germany was a bit different because when we lived in Russia, it was quite in a rural area. We had like our own animals, like chickens, cows, shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a small town, almost like a village.
Okay.
Mentality there was completely different to when after we moved to Germany, and I found myself, even though I knew the language a bit, it was still really hard trying to adjust to like a Western lifestyle.
Yeah.
But once that happened, and I got more into youth culture, into music and things like that, I discovered politics for myself. I wasn't organized. I was organized in like with anarchist groups and with Antifa groups, and we would go to protest Nazi marches and then fight with the cops, fight with the Nazis, all kinds of shit, like finding ourselves in riots and then trying to either participate or just run away from the cops, and it's being totally terrifying. Cops in Germany, riot cops in Germany, are so different to like anywhere else where I've experienced. It's very organized.
Yeah.
They always get people and like close them in and then arrest them and things like that. It's quite violent. And so if you were able to escape the cops or the Nazis, then you were very lucky. So, yeah, I just grew up within punk, hardcore, anti-fascism. And I think all of that happened due to the fact that I have a multicultural background. And when we moved to Germany, I felt like I didn't really belong there. But also growing up in Russia, I didn't feel like I belonged there, because there was the German kid, and then in Germany I was the Russian kid.
Oh yeah.
And then it was like, well, what am I? And I just had like one thing that I remember which was really harsh for me back then was I was 11 or 10 years old, and I would start in my new school, and like lots of kids just like pointing fingers at me like, oh, is this the new girl? Oh, she looks weird, she doesn't speak German. But I could understand all of them, and I would just stand there and be like, okay, this is sad, what do I do? So I didn't really feel like I belonged anywhere. So I just found a place in music and politics and DIY culture where I felt like it did.
So what, did it ever get to a point where you felt comfortable like being from this, you know, multicultural background? You know, do you ever find a place that you felt comfortable in?
I think I did that when I moved to the UK. It's a strange one because, I don't know, for some people they think their home is where they grew up, where they were born, or whatever. For me, it's where I feel comfortable, where I feel safe, where I feel home. And that for me is the UK. Ever since I moved there, like the vibe is so different to anywhere else in Europe. People there are quite open. people are friendly, people talk to you, people are interested if you're from somewhere else. They ask you, like, oh, where are you from? This is cool. Oh, I've been there. They like to talk about you being different to them.
Yeah.
And while I was growing up in Germany, I thought it was kind of something that people weren't very comfortable with.
Right, right.
Sometimes. And since moving to the UK, I just felt like this is where I want to live, and I hope I can stay there after Brexit.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
You guys got your own idiot in power right now.
Well, the one that we have right now looks almost identical to your idiot.
Dude. Right. It's so scary.
Yeah, same stupid haircut.
Oh my goodness. So when did you first started getting sort of the bug to play music, to be a part of a band?
For me, it was pretty clear when I started listening to heavy music. And that for me was bands like Slipknot, yeah, Linkin Park, Korn, and things like that. So all that stuff that you would see on MTV back then, in 2001 or whatever. So ever since I was like, this is hot, I want to do that. And ever since, I kind of felt like I wanted to be part of music because I enjoyed music so much and music gave me so much comfort and something to identify with that I wanted to give something back. And I wanted to learn and play guitar and then be in a band with my best friend back then. And she actually started to learn bass, but I couldn't because my parents just couldn't afford it back then.
Yeah.
And so I ended up singing in a band when I was 17, and it was a crust punk band with, I don't know, hardcore elements. We were called Mass Strangulation. Went on my first tour with that band when I was 17 or 18. It was like 2 weeks in Europe or something like that. So I realized really quickly that I loved doing that, and that is something that makes me happy and something that I'd like to be a part of for as long as I can. And then ever since, I think Venom Prison is my fourth band now. Yeah. I'm 30, so it's been like 13 years of making music.
Right. Nice. When going into these, into making the Venom Prism albums, you know, what was sort of your mindset going into writing and recording those, like especially the newest one? You know, what were your, you know, your goals going into the album?
I think so with Samsara, we just wanted to, I don't know, take whatever we created with Animus and what we knew people liked and that we appreciated ourselves as well, and we wanted to take it to the next level. We wanted to show that we've evolved as people, as musicians, as creatives, and just put it all in to one and show people that we're more than just like breakdowns or whatever. And so that's kind of how it all happened.
My favorite song on that record is Azura's Realm. That one just stands out like so much with that, you know, that beginning lick and everything, and I'm just like, whoa, this is like, talk more about what you remember like doing that track.
That track, I remember when the guys were writing this one, because I was actually there. So we usually write in like a home studio setup where either Ash or Ben write on their own, then come together, write together, and then we all get to listen to that. And sometimes we just hang out with them while they write as well, just to give them some feedback and things like that. And when they've written this one and I've heard the intro, I was like, well, this shit's epic. Like,
right.
Because it was different to what we've written before, but also very familiar. And just writing this song, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted it to be about. Usually when I get a song where they tell me, okay, this is almost finished or this is finished, and then I start working on the lyrics for it, I usually have something in mind straight away, depending on what mood it is, how it feels. But this one, I didn't quite figure out how it made me feel, because it was different and there were so many different elements into one, and it took me quite a while to figure out what I wanted it to be about. And I ended up writing a song about the distribution of wealth in our society, because I felt that it would, like, the mood of the song and of the music in the song kind of represents what's happening in the world at the moment. Everything's kind of falling together but also falling apart. And at that time, Brexit was like a real thing that was coming up, and then all the shit happening in America with Donald Trump being elected and things like that. So I felt like this song needs to be about poverty and just the distribution of power within society.
What do you hope that your listeners get out of the Venom Prison music?
I hope that they can figure out for themselves what they think is right, what they believe in. Even though I have my own views, I don't like telling other people how to live their lives and what to believe is right by just me telling them, oh, you can't do this, but you can do that.
Right.
I think people have their own brains, and I think that if they reflect on things properly, that they can figure out for themselves. And by giving people samsara, if I just talk about samsara, I wanted them to understand that even though life feels hopeless and meaningless and you don't see anything good coming out of it, you can channel that energy and create something beautiful, something meaningful, something that might mean the world to someone else, because they can find themselves in your emotions, in what you're feeling and in what you're experiencing, and then realize that they're not alone. Because samsara deals with mental health issues, because that's what I've been going through when I was writing this record. And it's a lot of self-hate, self-loathing, and things like that. And I know that I'm not the only one who feels like that. I know there's so many people out there, and sometimes you just need to know that you're not alone.
Yeah, definitely. So we're about to, you know, you're about to perform.
Self-hate, self-loathing, and things like that. And I know that I'm not the only one who feels like that. I know there's so many people out there, and sometimes you just need to know that you're not alone.
Yeah, definitely. So we're about to, you know, you're about to perform here in Detroit. You know, what do you hope the crowd that comes to see Venom Prison gets out of a show?
I think that they enjoy the music, that they get to understand the music, that they feel the energy that we are feeling on stage while we play the songs, and that they just take all of that in, think about it at home, and just get on with their lives, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I always hope that people just realize how much heart we put into all of this, that they can see it and that they understand, and then that they appreciate it.
I always like to ask this in my interviews, is that, you know, what sort of nugget of knowledge, like a lesson that you've learned throughout your life and career, that anybody listening to this interview, it doesn't matter what avenue of artistry or life that they're coming from, could sort of project into their own life?
What I've learned over the years is that you can't really rely on other people. You always need to rely on yourself. Even if you think you can rely on someone, it's and they let you down, it's not because they really wanted to let you down. It just happens. And it's best to just remain, I don't know, remain in control. Just take things in your own hands if you feel like things aren't going the way you want them to go. And if you work hard, then you can achieve anything.
Before we end this interview, can we talk about your cat? Your cat is very cute. Like you post, you know, on Instagram about your cat. You know, tell us about your cat.
I have two cats. Their name are Anton and Lisa. Lisa is a fluffy Persian.
Yeah.
She's silver shaded and she's 13 years old and she's Anton's mum. Anton is black and he's 11 now, I think.
Oh, okay.
And he's very different to Lisa because I think his dad was just like a normal cat.
Right.
And he's like fluffy but not really long haired and he's just the biggest baby ever. And aww. Every time I go away, he makes everyone's life hell by crying and howling because he's probably calling me and I miss them both a lot when I go away. And for me, the hardest thing about going on tour is having to say goodbye to my cats because they are like my children.
Yes.
And I've had Anton for 11 years. I adopted Lisa afterwards because she was someone else's and I just took her in. I wanted to find her a home with someone, but I just ended up keeping her. And she was a little bitch to start off. And she was like...
They always are. And then
she hated everyone who would touch her. She would attack everyone. She would attack me. And then I got her neutered and her teeth, one of her tooth was pulled because it was bad. And then since then she completely changed and she's like the loveliest cat in the world. Oh. She shits next to the litter tray sometimes because she's really old now and she gets confused.
Right.
But I still love her.
Yeah, yeah. I know that. Yeah, definitely know the love of cats, you know. Yeah. My mom's always had cats since I was a kid, so still does, you know. I was out there playing with my mom's cats just about an hour ago, you know, so
yeah.
I understand the love of the cats. And before we get out of here, I want to ask you the same question that I asked Justine, and that's, you know, who's somebody that, you know, you could recommend for this podcast that would have some great stories or lessons to talk about?
I think this one's quite easy for me. I think Pat from Fit for an Autopsy would be perfect for this.
You know what? I've interviewed him before, but outside of the podcast, you know, and I'm actually working on getting, you know, something with Fit for an Autopsy.
Yeah.
Because they're finally doing a headline show here, like, in a couple months. And I'm so psyched because every time they would come to town, they would be on an opening slot. And because of either the line outside or me having to work, I'd always miss them. And I'm finally like, yes. I finally, like, they're finally doing a headline show. So I'm super psyched about that. But, yeah, I've interviewed Pat before for outside of my podcast for when I was writing for Huffington Post. And, yeah, he's a cool dude, yeah. So I definitely want to catch up with him also eventually.
He's amazing. Like, I've met Pat probably around 3 years ago. No, it was in 2017, I believe, when we played a festival in Belgium, Ipafest. It's like a hardcore festival, and Fit for an Autopsy played as well. And then on the way, after we played our set, we had to go to our van, and then we met Pat, and he was walking past, and he was like, oh, you're Venom Prisoner, I just seen you, you were sick. And then we just started talking, and we were friends since. And then we finally got to go out on tour with them in May this year, just hanging out with him, and the rest of the band for like 2 weeks was just amazing because Pat is a really cool person and he's been through so much.
Because what we're talking about, you know, how he got healthy and dropped all the weight and everything. And it was a crazy journey for him, you know, and you know he's doing it to just be healthy for his family and for the band and everything. So yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a very passionate person and I think he's got a lot to tell.
Yeah, he does. So I definitely want to like catch up with him. So I am definitely trying to get that you know situated. So thanks for you know, chatting with me. And where can people go online to get more information about Venom Prison, everything that they're working on, how to buy the albums, tours, whatever?
Just check out our social media. Instagram is just Venom Prison, Facebook the same, and Twitter. We all have the same tags everywhere. And then venomprison.com.
Yeah, you guys got a great name. It's, yeah. it's hard. Yeah, it's like I read somewhere online where you just try to think of like the most metal name.
Yeah.
And that's simply it. And it's great because there's nothing else called Venom Prison online, so you're able to get all the social media. I'm like, yeah, that's a hard ass name. So yeah, thank you for chatting with me, and good luck with the show. Good luck on the tour.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, great.
So, yo, that's the show. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Breaking Records podcast, brought to you by Fresh is the Word, hosted and produced by Kelly K. Fresh Frazier, empowered by Anchor at anchor.fm/breakingrecords. Breaking Records is available on all major streaming platforms. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. If you want to support Breaking Records and Fresh is the Word, please consider pledging via Patreon at patreon.com/freshistheword. Follow Breaking Records on social media, on Twitter at Breaking Rec Pod, on Instagram at Breaking Records Podcast, and join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/freshistheword. For more information,